A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news.
Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We often talk about on this program that when it comes to campaigning, we know what you're against, but can you...
With the three things.
Can you tell us what you're for? That's always the big test. And many, of course, are looking to the 2022 midterm elections and wondering if the Republicans take back Congress in November, what will they actually do? Is there an agenda? Something you might have missed. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day?
Think again.
Well, as we do look towards the midterms, a lot of people are wondering, can Republicans do something other than be against the Democrats if they were to be in power? Our friend Phil Rossetti, resident senior fellow at R Street Institute, where he studies energy and always helps us in deciphering a host of issues. But when it comes to getting quoted in the Washington Post, Phil did it this week. And Phil, the Washington Post pointed out something that you had said in terms of, can the Republicans actually have an agenda other than just opposing Democrats? And it appears they're at least on the brink of having one.
That's right. As of yesterday, the Republicans have released sort of the first plank of their climate platform, this being the House Republicans. The Senate has their own sort of momentum on these issues. But this is really kind of a step forward to saying, hey, you know, moderate voters, we have a plan for addressing these issues. It's not just about issues that only people in the reddest parts of the country care about. And especially recently, as Democrats have not had much progress in addressing climate, which is a big aspect of their whole campaigning, it's really a prime time for them to say, hey, you know, we've got other ideas that should be considered.
And you focus a lot of your time on the energy space, and obviously the climate conversation always goes hand in hand with that. And so what is it that the Republicans laid out yesterday in terms of energy, climate, and conservation?
At a 30,000-foot view, they laid out what they called six pillars, which they described as unlock American resources, American innovation, let America build, beat China and Russia, conservation with a purpose, and build resilient communities. So beyond that mouthful, what it really boils down to is the Republicans are focused on how to have U.S. resources play a bigger role in the global energy system. So think about natural gas exports displacing foreign coal or Russian pipeline gas to Europe, and with replacing that with U.S. LNG to Europe, looking at adaptation and resilience opportunities, and also a big focus on innovation, because there really is a lot of R&D opportunity. And I think when we start to really look at issues like climate change, it's very hard to see a pathway of solving the problem with current technology. There are going to have to be new resources that come online, new types of technology, new battery storage, et cetera. And that's been missing from a lot of the policy initiatives, you know, over the past few years.
Yeah, that was an area I wanted to dig in with you on, is that American innovation in all of that, because I agree with you that it's doing the same things we've been doing. Maybe just, you know, we can do it a little cleaner, a little greener, but we're kind of just nibbling at the margins there. So what are some of the things that they're looking at, and what are the things you think they should be looking at to really unlock that American innovation when it comes both to developing that energy, playing that role, but also being a lead out in terms of here's how we can be stewards of the environment as well?
Right. So, you know, so far they've been looking at, you know, expanding DOE, you know, expanding things like ARPA-E, which is this program that has a competitive aspect where they try to pick and choose the best technologies that satisfy certain targets and give them good size grants, you know, more cutting technology transfer red tape. So when the national labs develop technology, it's not always easy to get into the private sector, so streamlining that process. And that's been, you know, most of what's been happening up until now. But there's still things that are kind of on the table that haven't been talked about. So tax policy is kind of a big aspect of this, because a lot of innovation investments are subject to different tax treatments. It doesn't really make sense to punish someone trying to innovate or develop for that. And there is not a lot of policy geared towards specific environmental outcomes in the innovation space, in the sense that there aren't like X prizes or really sort of standardization of what success in areas look like. So it's something that they're trying to get more involved in, but it is still pretty early. But when it comes to innovation, we do have to recognize that we don't yet know what the end state is going to look like. All we can do is try to make sure we have a market environment that doesn't stand in the way of that innovation.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. And I do think it's important to note, too, that the United States has led the world in lowering emissions and also lowering energy costs for everyday Americans. And so looking at, you know, how we do that, how we go about that, and then how do we extend that, I think is going to be the big question going forward.
Yeah, well, the big thing that's helped the U.S. reduce emissions has actually been directional drilling for oil and gas. So that was actually, you know, an innovation that took decades to develop and really kind of came into its own in the, you know, late aughts and in early teens, the, you know, past couple decades. And with that, natural gas became much cheaper to produce. It's much cleaner than coal. And that's why we've seen this big drop off in emissions. So that's an example of innovation really working well. This is something that we think about globally also, because if there's going to be a new type of battery storage technology or new types of energy resources or vision in terms of new advanced nuclear reactors, that's probably going to be developed in the United States. We have the biggest capital markets. We have the most demand for this technology. So we want to have some sort of pathway to say, hey, you can actually develop this product and get it to market. Because if you don't have that, you're never going to see this innovation, and we're probably not going to see it come from the rest of the world.
And how do you think the Republicans should take this? Obviously, this is a 30,000-foot view of – you had a mouthful of pillars there, to be sure. How can they translate that into how they communicate both with their colleagues on both sides of the aisle in Congress and, more importantly, to the American people?
Yeah, it's been really difficult actually communicating these concepts, because when Democrats have traditionally talked about climate change, they've had a central planning mindset to it. They've said, we've got an end state objective. We're going to have zero emissions by this date, and we're going to have mandates and subsidies and a bigger government that's going to enforce this upon the American people. And if you don't know a whole lot about how economics work, it seems simple enough. It's easy to understand that, you know, if you just have all renewables, then you would reduce emissions. And Republicans are taking a much more modest approach. They're saying, hey, you know, we're not setting a pie in the sky target. We're just trying to have a environment where we're not occluding these small opportunities at the margins that we can do right now to get these victories. And getting that to be communicated in a simple way is challenging, because they're really just trying to focus on saying you don't have to give up everything that you have now to get emission wins. They're trying to focus on the global aspects and say, you know, it's not about reducing U.S. emissions. It's about making sure that the rest of the world has opportunities to also bring down their emissions, just like we have in the United States. It's a tough sell, but I think they're improving that messaging.
Yeah, it's an important piece of that puzzle. And so often we get caught in the false choice of it's either all or nothing, rather than a lot of these wins that can be had along the way. Phil Rossetti, resident senior fellow at R Street Institute, always brings us great perspective. And we've leaned on you heavy this week, Phil. You're lucky this isn't California, because they'd charge your residency for being on the airwaves. But we appreciate you joining us a couple times this week to help us with some important perspective on some crucial conversations. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. Again, that's Phil Rossetti, resident senior fellow at the R Street Institute. Great insight there. And I think it's so important what Phil said right at the end of, look, this doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be the Green New Deal or, you know, put an oil rig under Delicate Arch. That's the false choice. And so there are plans, and I think where they're headed in terms of some of these things, I think there is a path there. I think there's a path to bipartisanship. There's a way to get the American people on board, and there's a way to unleash American entrepreneurial spirit to actually get the results for the environment and for the American people.
Think again with Lloyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.